This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Hour number two on Open Line Fun Sunday. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman.
And I'm Captain Benny Hatton.
Our producer.
Leslie T. Travis on Earth Day.
Hello, Dale.
Earth Day it is. So pick up your trash.
Oh, it is Earth Day? Yeah. What was the 20th? That was National Weed Day or Pot Day or something?
Every day's a national something day, isn't it?
I mean, we got every kind of days now. But it's
yeah.
I saw a funny joke on Facebook that said, today is National Weed Day. Tomorrow will be National Drug Testing Day.
Right.
And then the next day will be National Unemployment Day. That's pretty funny. For all our weed head friends out
there.
Colorado man with a hammer down.
No, dear.
Okay. Well, we're all back. Welcome back to the show, folks. It is a nice Sunday morning. All the storms cleared out. I hope everybody survived those whatever storms they were last night. I can't tell you. I heard a little bit of thunder, and I just, it made sleeping that much more good for me.
I just didn't hear anything last night. I just...
And I'm sure my dog was not liking it too well. You know, she never was afraid of anything till Harvey.
Really?
Thunder never bothered her or anything. And now she's just, she gets nervous wreck when she hears thunder. That's crazy.
My in-laws had a Cocker Spaniel that if she heard the first bit of thunder, she ran all the way to the back bedroom, all the way to the back of my mother-in-law's closet.
Yeah.
And got in there and laid down.
It, we had so many, what was bothering my dog, I remember riding Harvey out, was all the tornadoes you could hear above you in the clouds.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And that pressure drop, I think that's what bothered her the most. So, all right, well, it is Open Line Fun Sunday. If you want to give us a call, we'd love to hear from you, 713-572-4610.
That's 713-572-4610.
Let's go to Randy on line three, shall we? Randy, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show. What's up?
Good morning, Captain Mickey and Captain Benny. Listen, Captains, a few years ago, man, I had to get some titanium put in my neck, and it's pretty much put a damper on my duck hunting, but I would really like to... If I could find a shotgun that doesn't kick too hard, do you have any recommendations on that? I was thinking maybe a 20 gauge. I've always hunted with a 12 gauge all my life. Do you know of maybe a 20 gauge that doesn't kick too bad?
Yeah, you know, Benelli's 20 doesn't have a lot of recoil to it. You know, really the heavier the gun, the less recoil you're going to have, but then it's going to be more difficult to get up and swing and everything else. But a 20, you know, I mean, I don't know what kind of scale you're on, you know, how bad your neck is and what kind of shock it can take. I mean, I mean, all you can do is just go shoot one, you know.
Try one out.
Just try it. That's all you can do is try it out.
And, well, I don't have a strength problem. It's just I'm just trying to go easy on that vibration there, you know, that close to my neck, you know. But Benelli sound like it'd be a good place to start anyway on a 20 gauge.
Plenty of money, too.
You know? Yeah, I know that. I hear you, Captain.
Hey, those Italians are proud of them shotguns, man.
Yes, sir, man. Hey, listen, have you ever heard anybody maybe trying to hunt a duck with a 28 gauge?
Yeah, 28? But it's, I bet it'd be hard to get steel shot for those and, kind of like 410s.
Yes, sir.
And a 28 gauge, Boy, Blaine gets so mad at those quail hunters when they come down there with 28 gauge. He calls them pop guns.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same.
He said, I spent all day looking for crippled quail. He said, just pull out a 20 or a 12 and get it over with.
I hear you, man. You know, Take them down.
Yeah, a 20 does the same thing as a 12. It just doesn't have the same amount of shot in it. It's not as big, you know.
Yes, sir. If you put it on, they're going to come down.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I used to watch some guys that hunted waterfowl strictly with 410s, and they were good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They were crack shots, man. They'd shoot them in the face.
Yes, sir. Well, listen, fellas, I always enjoy your shows, and, hey, I appreciate you.
All right, Randy. Thank you, man. Have a good Sunday. All right.
And you too.
Good luck with that neck. All right. Let's go to line one. Let's go to Mr. Williams, if it'll punch up. Man, that button's nasty. Mr. Williams, good morning.
Yeah, I wouldn't call in, but I got to thinking I was...
Oh, come on, man. I didn't hear from you last weekend. What was up?
Well, I don't call every weekend. If I don't have nothing to say, I don't call.
Okay.
I don't like to talk about nothing.
Well, I didn't have much to say this morning when I got here, but I had to eventually end up talking.
Well, I got a lot to say.
I was lost for words.
this is a good time to say this. You know, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, sort of kind of talked about it. But today is what? April 22nd. This is a very good day to talk about this. Mm-hmm. Take all the people out there listening to this, and some of them, it's going to be right over their head, but some of them, I'll understand what I'm going to say. Look around in the bay. Look around what's going on in our bay systems right now. All the bay systems. Look at east. Look at west. Look at Trinity. Look at the channel. Look at the lower channel. Look down around San Luis Pass. Look over around Rollover Pass. Okay. And we've been doing this. Me and you've had this talk for 20 years. Okay. And even today, in the year 2018, the spring of 2018, Texas Parks and Wildlife still, and I'm not taking a shot at Texas Parks and Wildlife because I understand what the problem is, I think, okay? But even today, in the year 2018, their stance on the movement of speckled trout is our trout do not move. And if they move, the movement is little, if any. Okay?
Yeah.
I know some real, real, real good fishermen. Real good fishermen. Well, I'll say they tell me they're good fishermen. They tell me that the fish in West Bay are fixing to move out into the surf, and that's where our surf fish come from. They come out of the bays and go into the surf, okay? I've been fishing for about 60 years, and I totally, totally, totally disagree with that, you know.
I think it's the other way around.
Right.
Wouldn't you agree? Well, don't you think the surf fish are the ones that come into the bays when the brownies, you know, that shrimp?
Well, I just said that. I totally disagree with that.
Yeah.
I'm asking you.
I mean, yeah.
No, I disagree. No.
I know you do, so.
Yeah, I totally disagree with that. And I would think... With a year like this year, where the other side of the fence is so empty, when the movement starts, you're going to actually be able to see it, okay? In some years, you can actually see it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get a flood right in the middle of the cycle. It can mess your brain up a little bit. And most people don't. They don't even go there. They don't have a clue to when you talk about movements and migrations.
You know, you just brought up a good point. I hate to interrupt. You just right in the middle of the cycle. I like the way you said that because this year, this flood we had, I hope it's the only one we have.
Well,
it came before the cycle, which is not gonna it's not gonna hurt us. Like, you know, the last few years we got those major floods in the middle of the cycle, and that killed us, man. That concentrated those fish so severely in certain areas that they were just, it was like shooting fish in a barrel, man.
Right. A couple of those years, you know, I don't know where you went. You went somewhere. You went somewhere. I don't know where it was. But I called Benny, and me and Benny, we talked for about an hour one morning, and it was the first flood. And me and him talked for about 45 minutes on about what was going to happen. And I was telling Benny, the reason I know what's going to happen is because the exact same thing happened in 83. And I know you remember that when we had the floods in 83 and it pushed all the fish out of Trinity in the east, blah, 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 blah. And that's exactly, it was almost like a blueprint of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, you know, we talked, the day we talked about five fish limit, we talked about putting people, certain people in a room, maybe some people from Texas Parks and Wildlife and some guys that have been around the block a couple times. And let those people debate, you know. Let's hear, you know, how can a guy, take somebody like yourself that's been on the bay for 50 years or myself been on the bay for 50 years or James or Jimmy or people like that that actually were on the bay for 50 years and they kind of know what's going on in the world and let them debate with the people that's telling us what the fish are doing, because I don't think they know. You know, even today, I'll throw this out there. Anybody in Texas Parks and Wildlife, I would point blank ask them to their face, do our fish move? And if they do move, where do they move from? Okay. They don't know. And I actually think I do know where they come from. You know, in the last 4 or 5 years, I've done a lot of research into this, and I think I finally figured out where they do come. And I was talking to David Dillman about this last night. To understand where our fish come, you have to have a great knowledge of Rollover Pass, the Gallison Jetties, St. Louis Pass, the Freeport Jetties, and the Brazos River. And that kind of puts it in a scope where you can kind of see where those fish come from, okay? And I talk about this a lot. You take yourself. You probably know Trinity Bay as well as any man alive. But there's two sides to Galveston Island, and there's a lot of things that go on the Gulf side of the island that not too many people know about. And the reason they don't know about it is because they didn't fish there for 50 years.
Right.
So a lot of these movements and migrations, you know, they start on that side. And I would like to get in a room or get somewhere where, not debate, but you can say, let's say they had their five best guys there, and I said, okay, me and Mickey and blah, 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 blah. We want to go in a room, and we want to debate with you guys, okay? And cause it's like I told you the other day. There's no way in hell they can know what we know. There's no way. If it's like I told you the other day, if I really, really, really wanted to know what was going on in Trinity Bay, I'd call up Mr. Fryermuth or you, and I'd say, tell me what's really going on in Trinity. Because there's not a man alive that knows more about what's going on in that bay system than you. Same thing with Jimmy West or James and West. I mean, there's nobody that knows. You know?
Well,
the jetties. It's like I said, baby. Do you agree?
Yeah, most definitely.
Do you think there's people at Texas Parks and Wildlife that knows more about what's going on in Trinity than you do?
Not field wise, maybe book smart, you know, with a degree on the wall and all that from A&M as far as the biological end of it.
Yeah, but sometimes book smart don't.
Well, that's what I was fixing to get to is, you know, you give
if
me somebody with
smart,
an OJT,
okay, let me
I just call it own job, you know, experience. And
if they were book smart, we would already have a five fish limit, okay? If those people really, you know, they talk the talk, but if they were as smart as they would have, that day me and Benny had that conversation 3 years ago when we told them that morning what was going to happen. We said all that blood water is going to stack them fish up and the fishermen are going to massacre them. And that's exactly what happened. And I'm a stupid fishing guide. If I knew it, how come they didn't know it? They should have known that.
Well,
but they didn't. For 3 years, they didn't know
they
it.
They do, but they don't care. I tell you, it all boils down, Mike, to the almighty dollar. And they're so afraid, I think, to cut limits up on the upper coast due to the extensive population we have here. That's license revenue. And that's what keeps everybody employed there and in a job. You know, you always hear about they don't have enough money for this or don't have enough money for that. But, you know, we got this state lottery and we got all these funds that can be used for a lot of special things that go on in our wildlife department and everything else. But they've got to have that revenue from license sales or that's the end of it. Hang on, let me do a commercial break. I'll come right back to you. Hang with me. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 519 in the Bayou City on this open land. Fun Sunday. Benny and I were talking during the break between commercials about, you know, TPNW's running their net samples right now. And where the nets are where you have these stack ups fish, they're showing great numbers of trout.
Great numbers, huh?
Great numbers. You just ask them in their surveys out there and they'll tell you, oh, yeah, we're catching a lot of trout.
Well, where's that computer-generated net placement?
Well, and now they run those in the same place every year. That computer tells them where to put those nets.
Where to put the nets? Yeah,
yeah. And if it's where the stack up is, it's going to look.
It's going to show
good.
It. Yeah, that's but exactly. Let's
talk about all the areas where there's not any fish, and they run them, and you know they don't talk about that. That's not positive. That's a negative, and it's. It's just like where are all the fishermen at? They're where the fish are.
Yeah.
It's where they're stacked up at. And that's kind of what's going on over in East Bay right now. You know, with all the fresh water and all these blows, you got to go where the good water is. And all right, let's go back to Mike. All right, Mike, we're back. Thanks.
Let me just throw this out there right quick. I'm going to take a 50-year span here, okay? Back in the 60s, and I didn't read this in the book. I did it, okay? We used to go out Freeport and fish for a fish that was called Warsaw Grouper. Yep. And it wasn't no trick to go out there and catch five or six of those fish in a 200-pound flat. And about 30 years later, they just disappeared from the face of the earth. You still catch them, but they're very, very rare to catch them. 50 years ago, you could go to the flagship pier where that Ferris wheel is now. They call it the T-head then. You can walk out there in September, take a bull redfish rod, and throw a bull redfish rod right in the middle of the school of tarpon coming right down the beach. You could see them. People fished for them. People caught tarpon. And in the 40s, they caught all kinds of tarpon off that pier, all kinds of tarpon in the 50s, all top off into the early 60s. I remember when I was a kid, I used to go down there and watch people catch tarpon off. It was no trick at all. To go down there and fish under any of those beachfront piers under the lights and catch 40, 50 trout on speck rigs. I mean, that was pretty common then. And that don't happen anymore. And there's something going on. There's a reason for that. I mean, you remember when you used to go fish the piers at night under the lights, stainless fast pier, fish under the lights?
Yep.
I mean, you massacred the trout down there. and you remember when we used to wade in the surf? I mean, in the summer come, we went wading in the surf, and there's a lot of days you could wade in the surf and go out there. And I mean, some days catch 30 or 40 trout wading in the surf. I got pictures of doing it. I did it thousands of
and
times.
Big ones.
That don't happen anymore. And there's a reason for that. I mean, there's a reason. And it's not all doom and gloom. It's like I was telling David, in about 3 weeks, you're going to think you would die and went to heaven because all the fish are going to move out of the bay, out into the surf. No, that's not right. Those fish are coming.
All those fish are going to move out of the surf into the bay. We're going to get a replenishment of recruits, you know, new fish, tide runners, what we call them.
Right. But if I know it, and you know it, and Benny knows it,
they know
about anybody that fishes at all knows it. How come they keep saying that our fish don't move?
Well, you know, 2 weeks ago when you and I and James had that long conversation, you know, we got beat up on that Too Cool website. I don't go to it and look at it because you got a bunch of guys that hide behind a screen monitor, screen name. They don't even put their real name out. And they talk smack. I mean, it's the most negative stuff I've ever seen.
Hell, I was talking to somebody
and
about that.
They were beating us up about it, but I'm going to tell you what. We know. I've been there. I've done it. I've been to the fair. I've fed the bear. I've pet the bear. And if anybody that can sit here right now and say that fishing is as good now as it was 10 years ago is fooling themselves. Right. If it's 20
I
years ago.
I said, I ain't never met a man in my life that I thought knew more about fishing than I did. And I ain't never run into one, the total picture. And if any of those people would like to meet me in a room anywhere to debate, I'll debate anybody about that. And I'll tell them, I told you in 2014 what you need to do. I told you in 2016 what you need to do. And I'm telling the people now they need, because they're going to look up one of these days. You know, I told you this a long time ago, and I was kind of punching fun at you when I said it. And I said, Mickey, one of these days you'll take one of your grandkids and you'll walk out to Umbrella Point and you'll point out there. You go, you see all that out there? This is sad, and I hope to hell it's wrong. You'll take your grandson out there and you say, you see all that out there? We used to catch trout right here. And you think it's way over the top of the mountain. But you remember when your father used to tell you they used to catch tarpon right there?
Tabs Bay used to be over in the summertime. They'd make their migration up towards Lynchburg. And for about a month in Tabs Bay, they'd go in there one time a day just to hook a tarpon and watch it jump about four times and spool all their line off, and then they'd go in and clean their trout.
Right. I told somebody the other day, I said, you can drive to, and this is a big plus for Eagle Point. And I think this is the reason Eagle Point got. You can drive to Eagle Point in the month of May, June, July, and August. Okay? You can drive to Eagle Point in the month of May, June, July, and August and visually see with your own eyes where they're going to catch not all the fish, but a lot of the fish for the next 4 months. You can span from the southwest all the way back to the north. That body of water that runs from the Texas City Dyke all the way to Marker 70. You can see all that. And I'm going to tell you what. It's like I said, everything's fishing to change. And you will be actually, you can see, you can stand there on that point and see where they're going to catch a great deal of the fish in the next 4 months. And that's
crazy. Where do you think those fish came from? They came from the Gulf. That's where they're going to
no,
come from.
No, hell no. They're coming from up there where you live. Right, Benny?
Yeah, they're going to come from all that.
Yeah,
they're coming from Umbrella Point. They're coming from the from about up there where that water, that spillway is up there.
HLMP, yeah.
HLMP.
I saw a report on Trinity Bay said blue cat fishing was excellent and red fishing fairly good with dead shrimp on the bottom. That was a fine report from Trinity Bay.
That was one reason I called in this morning. You can get kind of a ground zero look at the Galveston Bay Complex in the year 2018 on April 22nd.
Yeah.
The state of the fishery. And we got some fish here now. I
wanted to ask you about. Now, we've heard this forever from biologists as long as we've been around, how freshwater deters the spawns. They got to have the right salinity. It's got to be salty for these spawns to be productive. Now, you can't get the bay any fresher than it's been for 3 years, and now you count this year, make it 4 years going with all these floods we've had. Well, where are all these little fish coming from? We had some kind of spawn. I mean, think about that. I mean, would we just be absolutely overrun with little baby fish if the bay would have been in the right health? They spawn somewhere.
When you talk about rainwater, negativity about rainwater, you ain't never going to hear that from me.
No, we have to have the fresh water. I mean, that's why Trinity has always been such a thriving fishery.
I told you the other day when I talked to you about this last Trinity flood, I'm not throwing this one into the mix. It came out of the cycle, and it wasn't that far out of being. I mean, it was over the, but it come close enough or further far enough away from the cycle I don't think it's going to affect our cycle. No. I don't see it affecting the cycle at all.
It shouldn't. You know, and that last year, if you'll, I remember all our tide runners were small, the ones that came in. And we had a right. good flow of them for about a month. I mean, it was right. about a month, month and a half, because I was having to fish down there and fish that channel area in deep structure away from my backyard. And
well, what was your intake on that, Mickey? Many fish down there in that area too. What was y'all's intake on there? Was your vision that the fish are actually coming in from the Gulf?
Exactly,
no doubt.
There was no doubt about it.
Right.
When
they
came
in. I mean, if we were sitting in a courtroom and we were sitting on one side of the room and Texas Parks and Wildlife was sitting on the other side of the room, I would say, it is my opinion, sir, that our fish do move in mouth and gulf. But you can ask Mr. Eastman and Benny here and get their opinion, too. These guys have been around the block a couple of times, and they're telling you, you take all the knowledge from the guides and you throw it out there and you say, it's our opinion that our fish are moving in from the Gulf.
Here's my opinion. No. Here's the only thing that's changed inside our bays. Here's the thing that's changed within our bay system, with all the added pressure and the stack ups and everything. Our resident fish are the ones that have taken the severe beating. The tide runners have not as much. The tide runners have kind of kept us going. Here's what happened.
What happened to the tide runners? It's like you go somewhere on vacation and you start through the gate and you go, the hell with that? We ain't going in there. There ain't nothing in there we're looking for. We just go on down the beach a little ways and go on somewhere else. That's exactly what happened. They come in and hit that wall of fresh water and they said, no, sir, I don't think that happened. I know that for a fact it happened.
Oh, we know it happened.
I was on the other side of the fence.
But here's the biggest thing that I've seen. This is what's really happened. And, you know, everybody will argue with you and tell you you can't hurt a resource with a rod and reel. Well, if that was the case, why don't we have limits? But you had you had 4 years of drought, and right. all the northern ends of our complex were just stacked with fish like mullet. I mean, anybody and their brother could turn the key off in the back of Trinity Bay, no matter what time of year it was during that drought period, and start adrift and catch all the 4 to 6 pound trout he'd ever dreamed of. Best fishing he'd ever seen. Then here come the floods. All those northern end fish, whether it was upstream or Trinity Bay or what have you, were all forced to the south. Then your tide runners hit that wall of fresh water, didn't like it too much, didn't want to come in. Then you congregate all those fish, you beat them up for 3 straight years, just massacre them. Now, to my recollection, I can add, that's 7 years of extreme stack-up situations where fish were just pummeled. They were nuked. And that's the biggest thing is our resident fishery has really taken a beating. Now, we've got to have the right conditions and get a super enrichment of tide runners to flow into the bays and start the process all over again. We've got to preserve them as they do that. That's why your idea of the 5 fish limit and everybody else's would be a great way to get a head start on that.
Well, let me say something. Let's take these months: May, June, July, August, October, November. How many months is that? 5?
Yeah. 6,
okay.
Yeah.
That's 5 months. Okay. That's 5 months. If you own a rod and reel and you know where to buy some live shrimp, you can go catch a limit of trout. Okay. Those 5 months, May, June, July, August, October, November, okay? Most anybody that fishes for trout can go out and say, hey, tomorrow's Christmas, it's going to snow all day. Anybody can do it in those months. That's the best 5 months of the year fishing for trout, okay? But how about the other 7 months, okay? How about all those other 7 months where the guides struggle, okay? Not somebody that goes fishing once a month. A man that fishes every day, the best of the best, and they go out there and struggle. Those other 5, 7 months, they struggle. Like I said, coming up in May, it's coming up like in a week from now. That's May. Fishing's going to get good. June's going to get even better. July's going to get better. August, September is not a good month for trout. September is one of the worst months of the year to fish for trout. But we come right out of September, and we go into one of the best months of the year to fish for trout, October. Then come into November, arguably, my opinion, of it, for fishing in a bay system, November, there is no better month of the year than November to fish for trout.
November
and anybody
December.
Can catch trout, you know, in November. I mean,
yeah, if your weather's good too, December's an unbelievable month.
But there's 7 months of the year where those 7 months used to. 20 years ago, we didn't struggle in those months. I mean, we had years that we did, like 89, 90, 91, 92, 93, 84. You know, we'd struggle when we had those bad freeze years. But other than that, it's like me and James, and you, and James said, I don't care if they changed or not. I don't care. Okay? I don't care. You said, I don't really care either. And I don't care. I mean, I really don't care if they change. All I was trying to tell you, and you said the same thing, we're going to take our knowledge, what we know, what we see, and we're going to make a recommendation that we think you need to do this. And if you don't do it, we can go back in 3 years from now and say, well, hell,
we told you so. Yeah, we try to tell you. That's right.
And if you don't believe it, you can podcast it.
That's it.
Okay, man.
All right,
I got to
roll. All right, Mike. We'll see you, man. Take care. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 540 in the Bayou City. On this open line, Sunday morning, feel free to call in. We'd love to hear from you. 713-572-4610.
That's 713-572-4610. A little surprised we didn't get any calls about that last subject that we had.
Maybe we will.
Maybe we will, yeah.
Anybody's got a take on that, if they know something we don't know, we'd like to hear about it.
Yeah.
I would anyway. But, I mean, that's all I've done for the last not quite 40 years as a full-time guide. There's a bunch of them out there that say they've been here 40 and 50 full-time, but I don't know who they are.
They've been
here. They wasn't here when I was here.
If they've been here 50 years, they
Now, if I count the time I started fishing for trout, I could say, yeah, over 60 years. But I'm talking about professionally guiding, doing it for a living to pay bills and feed a family.
That would be a broken-down old fishing guide, you know.
Yeah,
that?
38 years of it. And we've seen a lot with all that experience. I mean, and we don't know everything. I don't claim to be the best fisherman in the world. There's always somebody's going to beat you.
Yeah.
Any given day, just like the movie, any given Sunday. But when you do it and you're on it and you've seen it your entire life, and things change, I realize that. But fish are fish. You can take lures that we threw 50 years ago and take them out there and catch speckled trout today.
Yeah.
It's not always the lure or the bait or anything else. It's the guy behind the reel.
Mm-hmm.
The fisherman and what he sees, and if you really know what you're looking for, you can gas your boat up on a nice weather day and drive around the entire Galveston Bay complex, looking it over as you drive around. You can tell how many fish you got just by being observant, and I can tell you, I mean, we got enough. Take care of everybody. Everybody can, you know, they got to feed their families. I mean, if you're out there fishing to feed your family, you know, you got to have food on the table.
That's an expensive meal, buddy.
Well, I'm telling you what, man, you might want to.
Yeah.
You might want to try some of that good beef. But no, we do it for the fun and the sport of it. And if they told me I could never keep a speckled trout again, I wouldn't quit fishing.
Yeah.
I'd catch and release, and that's what I've done all year. I have not eaten a speckled trout since Hurricane Harvey. I've eaten some catfish and crappie and things like that, and some tuna.
Some gaff tops?
No, I hadn't.
Not that kind of catfish.
I hadn't eaten a fish out of Galveston Bay since Hurricane Harvey.
Since Harvey, huh?
If I just got a thing about that. We need to purge it out a little bit more before I consume anything out of this bay. That's just me. I mean, it's edible. It's all fine, but I just feel like I don't need fish that bad to kill a big old pile of fish to feed my family with. All right, let's go to George on one. George, good morning.
Good morning, Mickey. Good morning, Captain Benny. Good to hear your voice again on the radio.
Good to be back.
Mickey, I had an article in a magazine. I had to get rid of a bunch of magazines. I made a move not too long ago, and I kept a few. I can't find the one. Billy Sandifer passed recently.
Right.
And I want to say it was written by him, but I can't. Maybe some of your listeners or possibly you or Captain Benny know. Was he a big photographer underwater? You know, it kind of overlaps with what we do as anglers, you know. But anyway, in the article, he talked about being offshore at the platforms and seeing he talked about seeing speckled trout out there that would dwarf our current state records. You know, this article may have been before the 15 pounder was caught down there. The one that the TPWD currently recognizes.
Yeah,
I believe. Anyway, so it would have been Jim Wallace's fish. You know, he was talking at that time, which, you know. Anyway, you know, I had one of my best sessions about 4 or 5 years ago in June, came in the afternoon on outgoing tide. It was just within days after a tropical disturbance moved into Louisiana. And I guarantee you, you know, I got into a session there on some small, soft plastics. I wish I had thrown some larger plugs. These fish were not typical what I catch out on that beachfront. I fish it hard every year, and I mean their shoulders. I called in, spoke to Doug Pike about it, and you know I really believe those fish were deposited on the beach from that event, and that would be in keeping with that article. I want to say it was Billy Sandifer. I'm sorry I don't have that article anymore, but I do have that magazine still with Mike Williams in it about when he was testing all the mirror lures. I've got a magazine from 1984, and it's got an interview with Mike in there. But anyway, I just wanted to comment on that. You know, I'm with y'all. Those trout, they move in from offshore into the bays.
I think so, too. I mean, where else would they come from other than our residents that spawn here and the fish grow up in the marsh and stay here? And then you have some that migrate out. I mean, fish migrate.
All right.
They don't, but they've tagged. They've got tagging info where they've tagged fish clear down by Port Isabel, and the fish have ended up being caught in Corpus and Rockport and everywhere else. That's a long ways. I would call that a migration.
Right.
I mean,
everything
does. Your mullet, your shad, your shrimp, all of it migrate. And if you're a fish that follows that bait fish and feeds on it, you're going to migrate with it.
Right. That's the same way, you know, the tarpon fishing over the decades has been affected by the water coming down these rivers and all.
We
used to have great tarpon. It used to be one of the premier tarpon fisheries in the world around here. Clear Lake used to be clear. They had glass bottom boats, I believe, tours out there.
Well, that's kind of why they named it Clear Lake.
I think that's what it was. You
it's
know,
not clear anymore. It's full of ship channel.
I tell
ship
you
channel
what,
silt now.
I don't really like to keep retaining any of those fish up there. I don't keep much of my catch for well over a decade, about 15 years or more. Anyway, I'm going to let you go. I appreciate it. Let me weigh in on that. I concur fish. You know, you can tell. You guys fish the bays year round. You can tell when you're fishing upticks when those surf runners move in every year.
Well, you can look at them.
They look different.
You can tell by the way they fight. They're different.
They fight. You doggone right.
They're stronger. They're harder bodied. They're not as soft. They're muscular feeling. And because
I had a 23-incher on just this Monday, and that surf, the way they pull, and I was right there at the pass, at San Luis Pass. Hey, it was pretty rough for me. It was a 2 to 3 footer.
Oh,
it was,
yeah.
You know, yeah. And I got out there in the afternoon. And, you know, the only thing, I was trying to throw a 51 MR-28, you know, gold sides, red back, yellow belly.
Red and yellow school, killer fella.
There you go. But it was a little rough. And the only thing was slow sinking plugs, you know.
Yeah. My dad went to the promised land with one of those in his casket. A brand new one in the box, baby. I laid it on his chest, and we closed him up and sent him to the promised land.
That's, you know, that's classic colors, and they still work.
Yeah, well, they
God
do.
Bless him.
All right,
God
buddy.
Bless you, your dad, man.
Hey, thank you. All right, George.
Care.
See you
God
now.
God bless you.
All right, later, bye, dog. All right, let's go to Royce Simmons, Richland Chambers. Royce, good morning on a Sunday. How are you, my friend?
You know, drinking coffee on a day. We were really, really, really lucky this last week, Monday through Saturday, and we got every trip in amongst that wind, then some rain. First time this spring, I think we've been able to get every trip in.
Awesome.
But we got more lucky than smart, though. I tell you what, I think it was the start of the week with north wind several days, and it wasn't just brisk, it was wind.
Right.
And then it went to the south, and then the last 2 days, an east wind. I mean, just blowing like a son of a gun. But we can still fish a south and southeast wind. Them north winds are kind of tough on us, but it turned out okay. We got boxes of fish, and some days it was easy. Other days we had to work for them, but... just a lot of sand bass back in that lake now makes it a little bit better when you get to deal with the elements. But looked like y'all were getting hammered pretty good yesterday. That stuff was south of us down here.
Yeah, we didn't. The weather didn't hit us till during the middle of the night. After I went to bed, I heard a little bit of thunder, and we got quite a bit of rain during the night. But it's all pushed off the coast now and heading to the east.
Yeah, I think we're supposed to have almost a rain-free week, which, again, you never complain in Texas about rain, but I wish it'd leave us a little bit. So the lake is absolutely full. They even turned a couple of spillway gates open in the middle of last week,
no,
I guess, to make sure the it was minimal and
okay.
It was short-lived.
Right.
So
I'll forgive you.
I don't know why they do it. We're going to need that water here in the next few weeks and months when we start to get in the hot weather. But I guess the little flood control lakes above us and then that lake, they try to keep them all right topped off in case we do have a, you know, an event or whatever.
Right.
But y'all were talking about something, and I'm going to ask you a question. You probably know the answer to this. Y'all were talking about migration and stuff in the water, but every fall we get the influx of gulls, cormorants, the osprey, the eagles, you know, the pelicans. And then about this time of the year, those birds will move out, and we're just left with the big old blue herons and the egrets to kind of help you a little bit.
Right.
What is the migration pattern of those other birds that come in the fall and leave in the...
Well, they go north in the spring, and then they go south in the winter. You know, same old pattern. They'll come through, and they go back to their nesting grounds, and that's where they raise and have their young. And then as winter approaches in the fall, they start their southern movement again.
So those gulls, they're stopping here instead of going all the way to the coast, I guess.
Probably so, and you're probably, you've probably got a lot of those big Arctic gulls, those ones that like to sit on the water and they make that big squawking noise. They're not
got
like
big gulls, but we also got a lot of those different kinds of terns. You know, there's so many different types of terns.
And they're kind of migratory, too, the lesser and the greater terns. We call them head knockers because they're always banging their brains in the water diving on stuff. That's what me and Plog call them. I got a bunch of head knockers over here. We call them liar birds, head knockers.
We call them liar birds.
Yeah, because if you'll watch them, they don't swarm. Now, when birds are working, they'll swarm and keep circling back. But those lyrebirds, they just get on a tide line or a break or something where there's a lot of little minnows and trash fish, like stuff like that. And they just keep diving and eating and keeps moving. You know, they keep flying. But but when those lyrebirds, when they start spinning back around, they're on fish then. So
same thing here. You know, the big gulls and the whirlwinds that you see when they're really on bait and bait's being pushed. You know, that's when you know you got a bite going. But the lyrebirds, they'll fool you sometimes. They'll make you waste 5 minutes looking on a graph.
Well, the customers drive you crazy all day. How about them birds over there, Captain? How about them birds? I get sick of hearing that. How about them birds, Captain? I'm going, hey, those are lyre birds. Yeah. Why do you call them lyre birds? Because I said they're lying. They're not on fish. We're not going over there. All right, Royce, I got to roll. I got to go to break. Throw your number out. Somebody wants to come up to Richland.
You bet. 903-389-4117 on the web, gonefishing.biz. You guys have a great rest of the weekend. It's almost done for you.
We're going to do it. See you, bud. Take care, man.
Take care.
Later.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.